Proverbs 29 and verse 18. So last week we started talking about this acronym of vision that we have. We actually talked a time before that, and if you weren't able to be here, I encourage you to get the CDs or go online and download the MP3s of it. I'm sure that Brother Tom will be having this up. And we appreciate Brother Tom for all he's doing, helping us get our website. And if you're creative in any way about websites, we need your help, because Brother Tom is doing all he can, but we need some more people that can step in there and make this thing look the top. How many know that God's house and God's things need to look better than the world's things? So we encourage you, if you will, to help. See Brother Tom. He's not a lone ranger. He doesn't want to do it by himself. He wants help. Amen. Isn't that right, Brother Tom? Absolutely. Amen. So we just appreciate him. He was just running sound earlier. Now he's running video. He's just doing it all. Praise God. Vision. Everybody shout vision. Vision. So we started talking a few weeks ago about got vision. How many got vision? Yeah. Come on. I said, how many got vision? Yeah. The enemy wants to blur your vision. How many felt like before you just got the hell beat out of you, got slapped silly? Anybody felt like that? You just got slapped so hard that you could see in three people. The enemy wants to blur your vision, but God is clearing up your vision. I declare it, and you're going to be able to see 2020. Amen? How many want to be able to see 2020? Amen. And we talked about the 2020 scripture of the Bible. It was in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 20. Believe the Lord your God, and you'll be established. Believe his prophets, and so shall you what? You'll prosper. You'll prosper. When you're established, when you believe God and you believe his prophets, you'll prosper. Now we're going to look at this word vision. I'm going to go back over just briefly, recap. The first thing, V, if you'll write the word vision vertically, vision, the first V on there is vertical, the only V on there. Vertical. We got to get vertical, baby. Right? We got to begin to look up. We got to begin to look to Jesus. And how many know he's the author and the finisher of our faith? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's the author and the finisher of your faith. So we got to get vertical. We got to look to Jesus. We talked and we gave you several passages last week of how it's important for us to look up. And then I is intimacy. We got to get intimate with God. We gave you what one person said, intimacy is into me see. That God wants to see into your life. He wants you to become transparent. He wants you to become real with him. You don't need the religious facades. He wants you to get real. How many know it's time to get real? It's time to get transparent. It's time to be intimate with the Lord. The only way for you to ever get to the breakthrough that God has for you is for you to get real with God. He knows everything anyway. So there's no reason for you to bring a front when you get before God. Just go ahead and be you. I like a shirt I saw one time. You be you. Right? It was like a university shirt, but it's you be you. You got to be who God's called you to be. You got to be real with God. Amen. And so we talked about that. And then we also talked about that next letter, S, which is see through his eyes. We got to see through his eyes. How many know God wants us to see things through from his perspective, the way he sees it? He wants you to see things through his eyes. And we really went to a place last week. I mean, there was an anointing on this 2 Kings chapter 6. We talked about how the prophet, how many remember the story? The prophet was with his servant, and the servant woke up and saw that they were surrounded. And he said, my Lord, Elisha, we're surrounded. But he said, you need to open your eyes and see. He prayed for him. Lord, I pray that you open his eyes, that he may see that there are more with us than there are that are against us. And the Bible says the Lord opened his eyes. Hallelujah. How many want him to open your eyes this morning? The Lord opened his eyes, and when he opened his eyes, he saw that the army that had them surrounded was surrounded by the fiery chariots and horses, and angels were surrounding the enemy. Can I tell you that the thing that seems to be surrounding you, God's got it surrounded. Hallelujah. The thing that's got, it seems like it's going to bring you down. God's got it surrounded. God allowed it to get close to you to ambush it. Glory to God. God allowed this thing to get so close to you that the enemy was smelling blood, thinking that it was over, it was done, you're down on the mat. But can I tell you that God's time twins are about to tag, they're about to jump into that mat with you, suddenly and immediately is about to show up, and you're going to begin to see a breakthrough like you've never seen before. Oh, Shikabahase. Hallelujah. So you got to get ready for it. You got to see things through his eyes. It might look bad right now, sir. It might look bad right now, ma'am, but you just look beyond what you see in the natural. The Bible lets us know the things that we see with these natural eyes, they are temporal. They're fleeting. They will pass away. He said, but when you look in the spirit, the things that are in the spirit, they're eternal. They're continual. Hallelujah. So this present circumstance cannot trump God's provision, God's favor. He knew. Do you think that this caught God by surprise? My God, there's enough anointing on this to preach right here. Do you think that this has caught God by surprise? Do you think God didn't know that this was coming? It's like when Lazarus died. Jesus stayed back on purpose. He could have went and healed him before he was... before he died, but he stayed back. Why? 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 So that God and his power could be made manifest. Some of you have been saying, God, you're late. That brick house hadn't sold yet, God. I've run out of time. I've run out of money for it, God. I'm just being real with you. Some of you got some things like that going on in your life. God, you know it's overdue. It's past due. It's late. But God said, no, it ain't. He said, I waited for it to die and for you to die in your own strength and your own might, because it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my spirit, says the Lord. So I waited for this thing to get so dead that it stank. How many kids just been saying lately, this stinks? In the Bible, in the King James, they said, this thing stinketh. We can just go King Jimmy. It stinketh. But can I tell you, what stinketh is not going to remaineth, because money's going to cometh. God's going to release some breakthrough. God's going to release some, my God, he's going to release some favor. He's going to release what he has promised concerning you and me. It stinks. It stinks. Turn to your neighbor and say, it stinks. That's what they told him when he came, when Jesus showed up. Well, this ain't even in my notes, but this is good. When Jesus showed up, when he showed up to raise Lazarus from the dead, he said, where's he at? They said, you're too late, Jesus. You passed the time. He's been dead 4 days. For by this time, he stinks. He stank. You understand what I'm saying? He stank now. Stanky. This thing, it stinks. It's worse than when you guys were on your trip back from eating those beans in the Mexican restaurant, in the van. It stank. Is anybody in the house? How many know death stinks? Talk to me. I said, how many know death stinks? But God wants some things to die so he can resurrect it in his life and in his power. So what seems to be dead right now to you, and what seems to be impossible to you right now, just know that Jesus has waited for it to die so he could be glorified, for him to be magnified. He's going to show up and you're going to say, man, you're too late. And he's going to say, I am the resurrection and the life. That's what he said. Bam. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Whatever you are believing God for, get ready. God's about to call it forth. Don't see it through your eyes. I said, don't see it through your eyes. Oh, Shikabahasa. Don't see it through your eyes. See it through the eyes of the Spirit. And listen to me. It's not always going to be rosy when you serve God. Come on, it ain't always pretty. You go through stuff. I go through stuff. Come on, the exact opposite of what I've been preaching for years is the exact thing that's hit me. I preach order, so I have 33 families leave the church. I preach legacy, so my son moves back to live with his mom. I preach breakthrough and prophesy for people to have buildings. And I've prophesied, it gave specific coordinates. Go this way, turn this way, go up here, and your building is there. And the people leave their building and drive up there, and the building is waiting empty for them. You, if anybody knows me, they know I don't have a geographical bone in my body. I mean, I don't know which way north, south, east, and west is. But I prophesied for them to go south. Are you hearing? South was into the water. There was only between them and the water less than a mile. And God gave the coordinates to bring them. And when we were driving there, I said, my God, we're going to go into the ocean. But God gave them coordinates. He said, go this way, turn left, turn right, and your building is right there. They went to the building, and the building was a Methodist building that had been vacated. The people couldn't keep it filled. 50,000 square feet of facilities. They got it for $500,000 right across from the ocean in Daytona Beach. This has been in the last, listen to me, this is not even 3 or 4 year old prophecy. I go to Dr. Dan White's, and he's about to lose his building. And I pray around his building. The Lord tells me to tell him where his building is going to be at. Don't you understand that it's frustrating for somebody like me to go different places and prophesy and preach these words and stand here in the city and drive around in circles looking for our building?
That's right. Come on.
So I can't look through these natural eyes. I'm just being real with you. And you go for a building and you put money down on a building, and then God says, don't get that building. He speaks to the prophets, and I said, say what? That's a nice building, God. I would love to have that building. And the prophets start speaking and people start calling. Don't go to that building. So you're obedient. And you take your money off the building and you wait. And then you go to get another building. And when you go to get that other building, you wait 8 weeks and you order chairs for the building. And you don't want to tell anybody where it's at because you want it to be solid. And the day that it's to be solid and you get approved by the FDOT, that very day the owner backs out of the deal. Is anybody here? How many going through some stuff? I'm just being real with you. You preaching on legacy. And right while you're preaching on legacy, right when you end a 10-day prayer and fasting, your son leaves town. So what I'm trying to say is if I just look through my eyes, shoot, I'd be living on an island right now. The plane, I didn't want a plane to pick me up. I would. I would have moved to Barbados or Bahamas. I got a friend in the Bahamas that you can come stay anytime. I got a place for you. I'd have been there. I'd have been there already. I'd have been there 2 years ago. There was two choices for me: to go crazy, come on, or to press in. When everybody and their brother is preaching, they're coming against you for preaching covenant. When everybody's turning their back on you because you're preaching the word of God, you have two choices. Quit or keep moving forward. Look ahead. So here's what I'm going to tell you. You know, I don't know where the building is right now. I don't know, but he knows. There is a building. There is a building. My God, there is a building. I don't know if somebody's going to have to vacate it this weekend, but there is a building. Shikalabasata. Get up out of my building. Get up out of my building. In the name of Jesus. You got to get it in your spirit. You got to see it in the spirit. What is it? What is it that you're believing for? I know you can't see it right now in the natural. Maybe you're believing for a husband. And it just seems like, my God, I can't do it on my own. God, you promised me you're going to send my Boaz. You promised you that you're going to send me that man. Maybe you've been believing for a wife. You've been standing. You've been believing for a while. Maybe you've been believing for a house. You might have been believing for a car. You might have been believing for God to give you a new job. Whatever it is right now. Don't look with these natural eyes. Look beyond what you see and see what the Spirit of God is showing you. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to review. Help me, Jesus. You got to buy the CD. Intensity. That's what it is right now with me. Intensity. Intensity. You got to keep the flame burning, baby. So we gave you four ways to be intense. So you go get the CD. It'll help you. Obedience. We talked about obedience last week. Let's pick up there. Acts 26. Thank you, Lord. I've been working this week on a manuscript all week till like 3 and 4 in the morning, trying to get this book ready to be published, and I'm stirred up about it. And one of the things that that just really stirred in me is a lot of what we're even teaching right now. God's just opening up revelation. Amen. Drive down the road. There's a word. Hallelujah. Prayer last night. There's a word. Amen. Having to get it out and write it down. Amen. That's good, isn't it? Acts 26. If you're with me, say amen. Amen. Acts 26 and verse 19. 26 and verse 19. Let's just back up if we can. I feel like you need to read verse 15 as well with me. And I said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus whom thou persecutest." This is something got a hold of me yesterday. I was thinking about this. The Apostle Paul, when he got called, he was persecuting Christians. I know that's not a deep thought. You know that already, but just follow me. The guy is holding jackets, the coats, for people killing Stephen. He's an accessory to murder. Are you hearing me? The guy is involved in persecuting those that believe in Jesus. Knocked off of his horse. Saw a light. Jesus comes to him and begins to tell him what we're about to read. The thing that got me yesterday, that just when I thought about it, I thought, wow. The Apostle Paul really had to have this encounter. Because there is no way that you could be a part of a gang that's killing people and then turn and go the opposite direction against that gang. Is anybody here? Knowing that your life is now on the line because you were holding the jackets. You weren't even the main person in the gang. Are you here? But he had such a radical encounter. God so opened his eyes in the spirit that when he was able to see in the spirit, that he was able to turn his back on the whole gang, on all of society, everything that he was raised in, and begin to preach for the one that he used to persecute. And that's what's going to happen in this hour. There's going to be some radical conversions. Shikalabahase. Some of the people that used to come against the gospel and come against you, you're going to turn around and they're going to be some of the greatest preachers. Shikabaha. Atheists are going to begin to come to Jesus. I prophesy it right now. People that have just stood against, they've been obstinate, their necks have been stiff, they're going to begin to turn right now in the name of Jesus. You're going to begin to see it here. High profile people in Central Florida and this nation, they're going to begin to turn and give their allegiance to Jesus. Look at this, Acts 26. Boy, I'm just telling you, I wish I had some more time here. But rise and stand. I am Jesus whom thou persecutest, but rise, verse 16, and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes. See, listen to me. God wants to give you vision so you can help other people receive vision. Is this microphone broke? Are you here? God wants to give you vision so you can open the eyes of others. God didn't just save you so you can look cute and pretty and come to church on Sunday morning. God saves you and sets you free so you can go and give vision to people that don't have any vision. So to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Verse 19. Notice this. I love this. This is where we need to have said about us. Brett, at the end of your life, this is what needs to be written on the epitaph. This is what needs to be written. Here it is. I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. How many want that to be written over you? Come on. I mean, we might not even see death. We might be the generation that puts death under our feet. Hasha. Hallelujah. Come on, we might be the generation that don't have to die. Puts all things beneath our feet. But if, at the end of your life, you've fought the good fight of faith, you've kept the faith, what? You finished your course. At the end, wouldn't you like it to be said like Paul? I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision. Come on, lift your hand if you want to see that. I wasn't disobedient, God. I didn't go whoring after other things. I didn't go looking around after other things. I didn't sell the vision for a pot of stew. I wasn't an Esau. I didn't sell out my birthright. I didn't sell out the vision for something that was just soulish and temporal right here and now. Well, I know that's a hard word, but a lot of people, they spend their lives running after a vision only to give it up when there's something that appeals to their eyes. Come on, I'm not going to be disobedient to the heavenly vision. Wave your hand. I'm not going to come under an Esau spirit. I'm not giving up my inheritance. No! I'm not giving up my inheritance. Say, I'm not giving it up. So you got to be obedient. The next letter is never look back. Never look back. If you want to have vision, you can't look back. I had no way of knowing that last week the little skit that Paul and Natalia did was going to even come to this. But I believe that God anointed them and inspired them with creativity to even set up the stage for this. When you're driving down the road and you're in a car, one of the greatest enemies when you're driving is a distraction. It's not the crazy drivers. My God, we got people here from all over. We got people that come to this city that have never driven on the right side of the road. They always drive on the wrong side, wherever they're from. Did you just catch that? The left side, the wrong side. And they move here. And they rent them a car. I don't know why. But they let them rent a car when they come to America the first week. I'm telling you. They were just here visiting my parents. They're here from different places. Staying, and they're trying to remember, which way do I turn? And you're driving around 160 different nationalities in this city. Every week they live here. Besides that, all the New Yorkers that are tired of you being in their way, move! And all the Alabama's people that don't have any insurance, yeah. Every time, listen, I'm not making. I'll tell you, I got hit. My car got hit by an Alabama person. They didn't have insurance. And I found out that the state of Alabama, they don't require you to have insurance. So they come here to vacation. In their Alabama vehicles with no insurance. You see an Alabama vehicle, move. What I'm saying is all that is bad. But what's worse than that is a distraction. Going down the road, you get a text. Trying to text while you're driving. Women, trying to do your lipstick. I got so frustrated. I was driving down the road, Brother Lyle, and I saw a guy reading the paper. Kid you not, he had the paper down the interstate. He's reading the paper while he's going. People got TVs. They're driving down the road and they've converted their screen into a TV. And they're watching TV. And you're thinking, my God, 70, 80 miles an hour. That's pretty bad. But you know what? What's worse than all these other people with distractions? You get something to distract. Just falls down in the crack. And you're looking down in there trying to get it. Or it falls in the back seat. Or your kids are yelling in the back seat. You better stop it. Stop it. She just takes her shoe off and flings it back. Wrong one. Well, you needed it for next week. I'm telling you, these distractions in the back seat, these distractions in the car will cause you to lose vision. So here's what I'm saying. The whole purpose of all that is don't look back. Don't spend your time The only way you can have vision for where you're going is to keep your eyes forward. Listen to Scripture. Forget those things that are behind. Philippians. And look and press towards the mark. Right? You can't spend your life looking back here. Look at me. You lost the deal. Okay, it's over. You lost it. Looking back at it and wondering about it isn't going to get it back. You made the wrong decision. Hey, man, I've made a bunch of them. Can I just be real with you? I blew it. But I can't go back and cry over the spilled milk. I got to look forward and look for the next opportunity. Come on, somebody. So it messed up. It got screwed up. Something didn't go right. Forget it and press forward. Turn to your neighbor and say, press forward. So you can't look back. Jeremiah chapter 7. Boy, I haven't got much time left. Jeremiah chapter 7. Jeremiah chapter 7. When you get a chance, go and look at this passage. It's a powerful passage. Verse 23 and verse 24. Jeremiah, I'll just read it quickly to you. Jeremiah chapter 7, verse 23 and 24. Says, but this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk ye in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well unto you. How many want things to be well in your life? But they hearkened not, nor inclined the ear, but walked in the counsels and the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. They went backward. How many want to stop taking two steps back and one step forward? You get a good step and you're feeling good, and then all of a sudden back. The way that you can keep from going backwards is by keeping moving forward. I remember when I played football. Get on the line. Anybody in here play football before? One of the things they told me when I played football, because I was never a real heavy guy when I was in high school. I had me on weight gain programs. I had eating four meals a day, drinking milk and peanut butter and marshmallow sandwiches at night, trying to gain weight. Couldn't gain weight. Just as skinny as a rail. I'm telling you. My coach put me down at 170 pounds, and he had to fudge that. And it was with weights and a helmet on. There was no way I was 170 pounds. If I was 150, it was a miracle. 6'2". 150 pounds. I'm telling you, skinny. Okay? So I'm like, they put me on the line. I'm a tight end. I'm a wide receiver. I'm a tight end. We had a Christian school, so I played everything. Tackle get hurt, I moved over to tackle. Moved up to the, what do we have, 17 players at the max, 23 players. I'm telling you, I was all the time. Kick, receive, kick, team. I got kicked everywhere. Jesus. But anyhow, I can remember, John knows this, when you get down, you don't rest your weight on your heels. You get up on the balls of your feet, and you get close, and when you get down there, you've got enough momentum, so when you go to move forward, your weight will lunge at your opponent. Are you here? And the next thing they tell you is, churn them legs, right? Move them, keep them churning, keep them moving. Don't you stop. When you get down, when you hit that opponent, when you hit that obstacle, you keep them moving. You keep pushing. And I'm telling you, I'd be in the ground sometimes with somebody, and I'm still just pushing in the ground. My face mask is, I'm in the grass, and I'm pushing because the coach is saying, push, 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 turn them legs. Many of us, when we get hit, we hit something, it knocks the wind out of us, and we just sit down and cry about it. But if that adversary, Shikabahase, would ever just get one of us Christians that would just have the tenacity of a bulldog, that when he hit us, we hit back. When he hit us, we kept just turning them legs. Oh, you just picked on the wrong child of God right here. You just hit the wrong person. I'm going to push you back into the other end zone. There ain't no way. Nope. I'm not stopping. I'm going to keep churning. I'm going to keep moving them legs. And it was powerful. I had to hit this guy that was 330 pounds one time. My God, I was
Oh, Jesus. He was big. They lined him up across from me. Little skinny.
I have to imagine now, I know, but anyhow. Little skinny guy across from 330 pounds. I said, Jesus. I was the first person to hit him. He just transferred into our school. They put me on him. Fowler, get in there. Yeah, the coach just wanted to see me flatten like a pancake. All I could do, John, was, you know what? I can't get my arms around him, but I can get his leg. My God, I'm going to knock his legs out from under him. Sure did. All I was praying is drop and roll. Don't let him land on me. 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 I'm telling you, we had to do these drills where you had to lay down on your back. And then the coach would blow the whistle. He'd give the big guy the ball. He should have gave me the ball. But he gave him the ball, and I had to tackle him. On your back, the whistle blows, he gets the ball, he comes through, you turn around, and you have to look up. He's going to plow me over like a freight train. But you know what I said? Them legs are coming out. And I grabbed a hold of both of them legs, and I knocked it up, and I kept churning. And that boy went, I'm telling you, a big guy hit the ground. When he hit the ground, he got up and hit me in the head on my helmet. I could still hear it ring because he had them things. Pow! Like that. What'd you hit my legs for? I said, I couldn't get no arms around anything else. I said, but you went down. The coach said, you did good. I said, that's what you should do. Now, normally you'd put your helmet in their numbers and you'd wrap them up. But my God, you can't wrap them around the refrigerator. So I wrapped them around his legs. And we became friends, and he was beside me on the line. I was glad he was beside me on the line because we helped push the way through. What I'm saying is there's things you're going to come up against that are bigger than you. But if you'll keep moving your legs, if you'll keep moving forward. Come on, don't sit down and cry about it. Don't look back. Move forward. Move forward. Would you stand with me? We got a lot more here that we're going to move into. Seems like this part of this message just needs to continue. So this week, I want to challenge you. Don't look back. Come on. There's nothing back there. Listen, even if you had a glory day, even if it was awesome, you had victory back there, it's not worth it. Because all you do is live in the past. People that live in the past, they don't have a present and they'll never have a future. I'm going to say it again. People that live in the past, they don't have a present and they'll never have a future. Why? Because they're caught up what things used to be. Oh, don't you remember those glory days? Don't you remember that fire that fell? Don't you remember those revivals? Don't you remember what God used to do? No, start a new one. Start a new fire. Don't talk about what was. Talk about what is. Talk about what is to come. Amen? If you believe it, put your hands together. Come on, put your hands together and lift up a shout. Come on. Come on, lift up a shout. Amen. I want you to take a step forward. If you can't take a step forward and you're in your seat, then get now. Take a step forward. Say this with me. Say, I declare and I decree that I'm moving forward in vision. The vision that you've given for my life, for legacy life, I receive it. I'll not let go of it. I'll move forward. I will not be sidetracked. I will not be distracted. I'll move forward. I'm going to keep my eyes on you, Jesus. I'm going to keep my eyes on the prize. I'm going to press towards the mark of the high calling in Christ Jesus. I say goodbye to my past, and I embrace my present, and I prophesy that my future is going to be brighter and better in Jesus' name.